to take an intro.
Well, why don't you get your favorite hanging on there? How about this one? You like this one?
Oh, yeah, that one's pretty.
That's pretty right there. Now, come here, let me show you something. I like the blue balls.
Nueve. Blue Balls NYCFC. Season 9.
I like the blue balls. The blue balls.
Nueve.
Blue balls.
Season 9. Nueve.
No. No. No.
Like! Blue-footed boobies.
I did.
Blue tit mice.
Are those all your? Are those all the? Is all the names of the fans?
keep all this in.
But not blue or bluey, ladies and gentlemen. You've got blue balls. My name is Jake Beckhardt. I am. Oh no! Oh no! I am still your intrepid co-host, and I am joined this week, as every week, by my intrepid co-host, Mr. Trey Fillmore. Our special guest doesn't get to talk yet, because one of the divine pleasures of hosting a podcast is not having to introduce somebody and forcing them to just sort of hang on, accumulating, if you will, blue balls, waiting to speak. And in the meantime, the host and the co-host can just kind of, like, let things drag on, you know, let the tension build. So, Trey, how are you? Since the 10 minutes that we have spent not recording a podcast this afternoon.
Well, yeah, your strategy worked really well. Max has been dead silent this whole time. And only thing I did was spend $15 on gambling as fast as I could. So I'm sure I'm going to lose all that money, too.
What did you... I heard a noise from the other line. What did you... So I'm going to ask the question that he can't because he's not allowed to yet. What did you... What did you spend that? What did you bet on?
The NFL. I just look at things and I press buttons and I go, "This looks good. This doesn't." I went into the season plus $200, and I currently have lost $240 in like 5 weeks. I'm on such a slide; it's impossible to even comprehend. So instead of actually analyzing what I'm doing or taking a step back, I am just pressing buttons until something works.
That's good.
You know, gambling.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I see you at the slot machine mashing your fingers against the... If there's one thing that I've always felt, it's that I wish that I could pay more money to enjoy the sports the limited number of sports that I even enjoy right now. But that's a way that I would describe myself. It's certainly not a way that I would describe our first guest, Trey. Our first and only guest. A true omnivore of Whoa. Athletics. We have, folks, we are approaching the end season. It is a 6% chance at this point that we make the playoffs, as you just probably listened to us talk about in the previous episode. It's not likely to happen, and we've all made peace with that. But we thought, as we round things out, it would be good to bring on a true blue sports expert to dissect the season, how we got here, and what we do as a result. So we've called up our old friend, Max Reinhardtson, of Sports Talk Right Now, as a special guest for this Towards the End of Season podcast. Max Reinhardtson, everybody.
Hello, boys. The boys are back in town. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-booey. Remember?
Yeah.
Guys, here's what I'll say right off the bat. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks.
That's a fantastic way to begin.
That wasn't actually what I was going to say. What I was going to say is never say never, but we'll get to that. We'll get into that a little bit. But never say never, boys. And I've always said that, and I think you should, you know, just keep that in mind as we move forward.
Can I ask you a few questions, Max, just to introduce you to our fan base, to help them get to know you? You are a self-proclaimed and authentic sports expert. Is that right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm a fan, right? I try to be as well-rounded as I can. So I kind of know quite a lot about a lot of different sports. And I am self-proclaimed. I am an amateur. I don't do this professionally, but I do it.
I don't do it professionally, but I do it regularly.
That's right. I do it every weekday, but I don't in any professional capacity. Disclaimer: I don't have any. None of that. But I am. I'm a fan like you guys. But I'm also. I like to think of myself as a bit of a aficionado.
Tell us a little bit about your show, Max. So it's a weekday podcast, okay, right? That can we'll put the plugs up front.
Yeah.
What will the people be getting if they log on?
Oh my God, let me get my papers. Hold on, let me get my notes. Hold on 1 second.
Oh my God, the pure volume. Those notes.
Here we go. So well, I didn't think I would get to this right away, but so yeah, the podcast is called Sports Talk Right Now! And I did the show in 2020, and you guys were on an episode. I think, and I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to, you know, toot you off or anything, but you were on the second episode of my initial foray into the show, and I maintain that it is the best episode of the podcast that there has been.
Wow! Even now with the new and increased output, you think that we still top all of your
even more so now? Yeah,
that's such a nice compliment. I wish I remembered.
I
doing
mean it.
It.
I yeah. think. Okay. Well, that's didn't know that. Go back and listen, Trey. You got some. I mean, you sound. I mean, it's a beautiful little episode of a beautiful show. Beautiful show. But and now, so I stopped doing it, and then I filmed a pilot of the show, Jake. If you probably don't remember that, but you were involved a little bit, sort of, as you put it. But now I'm back doing the podcast again, but it's a new format. I'm not doing it with guests anymore yet, but I am doing it every single weekday, and I just kind of, it's just me, and I report on the current top headlines in the world of sports, and I do some other things as well, you know, but you, I do it every day, so drop in, drop out, call in. You can call the show, okay? 646-844-2927. You call the show, you leave a voicemail about any sports questions you have, and I will do my best to answer them.
Max, how often would you say you talk about soccer on your show, on the show as you've done it for the last 2-3 weeks that it's been running? Let's say, you know, it's an important moment in soccer. There's been an international break. There's been opportunities. The MLS season is ending. We're coming towards decision day. You know, are you covering? Is this an everyday situation? Like an every other day situation?
Well, here's what I'll say, I try to kind of give attention to every thing that's going on, which to be honest, fellas, is a bit of a daunting task, and it's not so easy all the time. So sometimes I will, you know, miss things here and there because I'm trying to report on every single thing. But yeah, we've been talking soccer, baby. We've been kind of, I mean, you boys know, but like, geez Louise, I mean, sometimes you can't help but only talk soccer. Now, I happened to start my show when the NFL season started, which I did on purpose. And so that's been a lot. We've been talking a lot about football and baseball, but soccer's, you know, right in there as well. I mean, you can't not talk about soccer if you're going to talk about sports. I think we can agree on
that. Sure.
Yeah. Speaking of Max, talking to a sports expert, we have to, of course, the biggest story in our league, one of the biggest sports stories of the last year. You have the greatest player of all time, Messi. In my opinion, he wins the World Cup.
He's Messi, in your opinion? Oh, never mind. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, okay. We're good. He might be. I mean, he eats interesting foods.
Well, and
he decided to come over to beautiful Miami and play for their team. And I just want to know, like, how monumental compared to all the other sports, you know, in history, these big moves of big players, especially coming to this country and what soccer is here. Like,
and Miami.
Yeah, that had to be a big, you know, moment for you as a sports expert.
I mean, it was huge, Trey. And thank you for, and thanks. I mean, yeah, as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, someone's going to Miami, you know? Now, look, is Messi in the top, like, is he dating Taylor Swift? No, he's not. But he is certainly in the conversation. He's in the conversation.
Dating Taylor Swift.
is that right?
No. I don't know. Hey, I don't know, man. Let's not get too messy, okay, brother? But, she's got her hands full. I mean, that guy's big. But but when I heard the news, I actually, and this might surprise you, part of me was kind of friggin' thrilled.
Mm. Talk more.
Part of me was
I'd like to hear about the part of you that wasn't. What were you most worried about?
Well, it's messy. I mean, he's been doing so well where he was, you know, like, it's that thing of like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's like, or break it and maybe make something better. It's like, it's always kind of a toss up. You know,
how do you feel that he's affected?
Good. Oh
yeah. How do you feel that he's affected Miami the most, right? Like, what's been, I think, like, so, the most profound result of having Messi join this side?
That's a really a good question.
Did you say really cool question?
That's a really, really cool question.
And it deserves a cool answer.
Let me just get my notes here. Yeah, I think I would say 98% of his time spent in Miami has been nothing but good. Now, can we agree that Miami maybe need a little bit of help?
Oh, sure.
We can.
We can absolutely agree
on that. Yes. Yes. Okay. So, and it's like, it's like, if you're gonna, you know, try to be the best guys around, I don't know, yeah, look to maybe the best that's doing it and get them over here. So I think it was a good move. I think it came with some consequences, but I think that ultimately he's enjoying himself, and I think it's maybe even going better than anyone thought it maybe would.
Yeah, or at least it was.
Well, that's what of course. Yes. Yes, yes.
Until
it was,
you know. It's not as if he's 98% might be an overestimation of how positive it's been, just based on, I think it's funny that you said 98% of the time, when so much of that time, you know, he's been under this cloud.
Yeah, the cloud, sure. I mean, it's the whole thing. I mean, God, you mentioned the cloud, and I'm like, oh my God, save as, you know, I'm just so scared, you know, with the cloud of the technological cloud, you know, is also pretty interesting.
You don't trust Google Drive?
Don't trust the C. In apartment 3B, that's what I say, baby. It's tough stuff, man. I mean, I trust it as much as I can. I gotta put my shit somewhere. All my hard drives are old and broken, so I gotta put it on somewhere. I don't have the adapters anymore. Hold on. I don't have the adapter capabilities anymore. Because they keep making these computers. Let's talk about this. They keep making these computers that have these different ports for the cords that I have. And it's like, you guys are doing this on purpose, and you're being very mean about all of it.
I'm sorry. I didn't know we were doing anything.
Not you.
Oh, okay, okay.
Jesus Christ. No, the manufacturers, they make it as hard as possible just to exist in a tech space for the average user.
Do you think...
It's pissing me off.
You know, I'm trying to help segue this back to the sport at
hand. Oh, yeah,
I'm
sorry.
Here.
We can talk about whatever the...
That's a part of it. Do you think that's affected? I mean, like, are they lying? Is it actually that he's just at home, flipping his USB drive and over, trying to get it into the
turning it off
computer.
And turning it on back on
that's
again?
Right, yeah, scratching his head, three question marks above.
Well,
it.
Here's a question. Here's a question. Ellipses before. Now listen. Here's a question though. Do you think, metaphorically, in a general way, you could say that maybe Messi should unplug it and plug it back in again?
Trey, have you ever heard of that working?
Sure. I'm sure you can interpret that in a way that makes sense, of course.
Well, you can interpret anything any way you want.
Do you think, like, you know, let's say you were in a coma. Would you try the same thing?
I would not try to unplug anyone if they were in a coma, but I would say,
and don't do
what
that.
If that was their Max request?
Well, that gets into a whole other situation. That's interesting. Max, I don't necessarily disagree with if someone really has got to go. You know, I'm not against it necessarily, even though it's illegal, I'm pretty sure.
Speaking of old bodies, and perhaps the last we'll touch on, everyone's always talking about Miami, of course. We all know that. But
of course.
How do you feel about David Beckham's role in all of this? Kind of this part of his career now.
Sure. Well, he's God. I mean, Beckham's obviously the greatest of all time, and he's one of, to be sure, top five. Trey, you don't think so?
We're interviewing you. You're the expert.
Whoa. Okay. No problem. And it is interesting because I am used to being on your side of the table, so it is a little bit, I feel, again, very honored, but very, a little nervous. I think David Beckham's top five players of all time, and he's certainly taking more of a observational role these days. And I did watch his documentary in full. I watched it start to finish, for sure, and I'm sure you guys did as well. Or the, I haven't.
Yeah. You could call that a documentary. I haven't actually watched it yet. I've only seen it in clips on TikTok.
Whoa, okay, interesting.
Well, so what's the best part for you?
Oh, man. I mean, honestly, to kind of just see how the sausage kind of gets made. I just love the behind-the-scenes stuff. I just love these guys pretending like they're real people, I love shit like that, stuff like that. Sorry, can I?
No,
curse.
You can definitely, probably. You can curse. That's all good.
Well, I don't think I will.
It's better not to. You need to practice, so that you can eventually get syndicated. I would imagine.
Totally. So Beckham, this fucking guy is out of control, right? And I think he's almost like a mentor almost to Messi in a way.
Okay.
And I think that's, I see that as an absolute win for Messi. Because Messi, it's a huge, I can't say his name without just, smirking a little bit. A lot of names, all these guys, anyway. I think Messi could use all the help he can get. I think Miami could use all the help it can get. And I think them together, I think I just hope the best for them. And I think Beckham is not taking away from that. I think he's not taking away from the spotlight in as much as he is kind of supporting the new change.
Sure. Yeah, and doing a fabulous job. Yeah. I tend to agree with you. Max,
he's a bit of a fabulous fella. Yeah, he's a fabulous guy.
But I think it's certainly not a great end to the season to have this the best player in the world benched for injury for so long and sort of close out your playoff hopes. But I'm excited to see what happens next year. Yeah, you got any predictions?
Yeah. Oh man, you mean for sport, for soccer?
Well, for Miami and for Messi, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's for soccer in general. Why not? What's your biggest prediction for soccer?
Well, first of all, and I wanted to see what you guys thought about this. The only talking point I sort of prepared ahead of time, which we'll see if that was worth it in just a second. So first of all, my predictions for soccer are that I think we're coming back. I think we're coming back in a big bad way. I think soccer's about to be. Maybe it's because of the universal appeal, right? It's like it's happening all over the darn globe. So I think we're actually gonna come back better than ever. But my question was like, because I've been watching all these clips, and shouldn't these guys be wearing helmets?
You know what?
That's Can we talk about this?
That's an interesting thing you stumbled into there.
Well, I didn't. I just said I pre-prepared it.
that they make kids wear helmets when they play, or not? Some kids wear helmets, but they actually make.
Well,
you're not allowed to head the ball if you're like under 9 years old.
Of course,
I didn't know that.
Of course, some kids wear helmets. Oh, yeah. Dang.
Relatively,
but
new.
Like, can you imagine all those guys running around with big like Daft Punk pieces on their head, just like whoa? But like that would kind of make everyone a little bit. You know what? Actually. Maybe all sports that don't have helmets, basketball, tennis, soccer, golf, maybe everyone should have a helmet just to be safe so we're not worrying about that when we're watching them play,
Right, sure. You don't want to see...
Could be good.
Some promising youth prospect get
young woman
conked on the noggin. You just crack yourself up with a
No, I had a I was thinking about a New Yorker cartoon, but
can you describe it to us?
I was just thinking about it. It's a penguin walking down the street with a briefcase on like a New York City street, and there's an older woman leaning outside the window, like shaking her fist, being like, and the tagline is like, you know, go back to National Geographic, you know, something like go back to where you came from. But the joke is like, I'm only used to seeing penguins in the magazine. What's one doing here walking on the street? Something like that. It's cracking me up.
I'm only used to seeing, what, does she have a copy of the magazine that she sees penguins in?
Yeah. So, you know.
Is she holding
you
a
know how people roll up
National Geographic?
Yeah.
Out the window?
She's pointing at it and be like, go back to where you came from. And people are like, whoa. And they're like, oh, she's talking about a penguin. So maybe it's
Is it a commentary on the migrant crisis?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't want to get into any of that stuff.
Yeah. No, that's okay.
But
well,
that
well,
is the cartoon. I thought it was, and I'm writing it down just so I remember, because that is funny as hell.
Yeah, we'll give you an easy question here. Israel Palestine.
Fuck off.
Actually,
come on.
Yeah. Do you use the hyphen?
No.
Maybe
a
slash?
No. I don't know. Yes and no. I don't know. Both. I do both. Sometimes I do both. I don't know.
Interesting.
And I can't. I don't want to even touch it. I don't want to touch it.
You're saying there's good people on both sides.
No, yes, but and bad, but I don't even
okay,
want to.
So there's bad
it's really
people.
A,
there's bad people.
No, not it. Not civilian. Okay, listen, we can't. And how did I know this was going to happen? I didn't want to talk about this even in any respect.
Max, that's
but,
okay. We'll go.
We gotta talk about it.
We'll talk about another conflict, which is
okay.
NYCFC having only a 6% chance to make the playoffs.
I know.
How do you even? What do you?
Well,
you know something. Jake asked me in our last episode that I'll ask you. How do you motivate a team in a position like this ahead of their last match? You know, are there any other examples of similar percentages working out?
Yeah, totally. Really good, really cool question. So I'll answer that. Okay, I'll answer that question with an answer. 6%, we can agree, is super low. In any world, right? 6% of anything is a very small percentage, right? Can we agree?
Winning the lottery, that's a pretty good percent if it's 6%.
Okay, damn, Trey. Okay, call me out. Okay, touche, dude. Besides the lottery, 6% is not great.
Okay.
Right? So, but, like I said at the beginning of the segment here, never say never. And I just watched, and this is the most recent episode of my podcast, which I don't know if that'll line up, but... the Friday the 13th episode, which was just a couple days ago, I watched the movie Moneyball. Jake, I finally watched it.
Congratulations.
Great movie.
Thanks. And I sort of recorded some commentary and put that up as the episode. And one thing in that movie is that Brad Pitt, you know, plays the the guy, the owner of the Oakland Athletics. And he's really bad at speeches. He gives like a bunch of speeches in the movie, and they're all pretty bad. So what I would say is, NYCFC, take that 6% and just hold on to it and absolutely kiss and hug it every night for all it's worth. Because maybe this is a bit of a valley, right? Maybe this is a bit of a slump, bit of a low point, maybe. But what comes after a valley? Say it with me: a hill or a mountain. So I think maybe it's important to maybe look to the future and not so much dwell on the present or the very recent past is what I would say.
I think that's beautiful. I think that's a really beautiful charge to provide to them.
Yeah. Because it sucks, man. Can we say
but
it,
I also,
it's a bummer.
It does seem
it's...
like the subtext of that message is give up, it's okay.
Yes! Dude, that's what I've been... Oh, man. And then the amount of times I have started something and gave up and it was okay, I mean, that's how I live my life, guys. And so what if I'm not a professional athlete or professional anything ever? You know? So what? It's just like, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to just take a breather and we'll come back better than ever. Use this as sort of fuel and sort of like, if you can't, what's the Bruce Springsteen lyric, Jake? You can't start a fire without a flame. Is that him? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Right? That's right. Without and a
maybe
spark.
You can also tell a soccer team.
A spark, I believe.
You
spark, 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 spark.
Of the eponymous Dancing in the Dark.
Dancing line. In the Dark. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, okay, okay. But it's also true. But I think you can't start a fire without a flame. Go ahead, Trey.
You can also tell a soccer team, baby, we were born to run.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. Dude. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Or 10th Avenue freeze out. No one knows quite what that means.
Or if you were trying to fuck one of them, I'm on fire.
Your favorite. I knew it was going to come in. It's your favorite song. Maybe your favorite song of
I
all time.
I can't help myself. It's up there, my friend. It's up there.
Yeah, I know.
It's never been so, I know. It, you know, it captures a very goofy kind of horniness.
Yes, well, Bruce is kind of the horniest, goofiest guy there is making tunes, dude. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that does feel like a Randy Newman erasure. But that's, you're right.
Well, they sound, they're only one drink away from sounding exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say?
I would say so.
New one for hire.
Well, if we're in a position to truly give up.
So here's what I'll say, but think about it metaphorically. Think about the spark and the flame and the lighting of the match. Like, a 6% spark flame is still a flame, right? And it can still catch fire, right? It has to. It has to.
It has to.
It has to.
I guess I'm inspired.
It has to.
Well, what if, and if
That's
they
why I'm
are,
here, man.
If they're eliminated from the playoffs before the match even starts, due to the results on Wednesday, what kind of speech do you give that team?
I mean,
some kind
then
of bucket
maybe,
of water.
Yeah, maybe then I do a bit of a Brad Pitt and Moneyball, and I say, "You guys stink," you know, or like whatever. He says something in the movie like, "You don't look like a winning team." Because you aren't one, or some shit like that. It's, like, completely insane.
It's always great when he gets to bust out the southern accent. And you're like...
Yeah, he's... No, yeah, well...
Surely that guy would have made southern. In a lab.
Also, his wig in that movie, you guys, listen to the episode, but also rewatch the movie. His wig in that movie is so bad, and it's most of what I talk about in the episode. And here's some tough love. And I know we gotta be winding up, but... I'm sure I have to imagine, but some tough love is, boys, sometimes you gotta pack it up and go home. Sometimes you gotta take what you learned and you gotta take it backstage. And you have to sit with it and you have to think about it, because it's not too late, but it might not be, maybe it's not the time to shine right now. And maybe if you take what you've learned, and again, it's like harnessing that flame, harnessing that energy. It's like, just what next? How do we do better next time?
How do you do better next time? Wind us up, right? Like,
I mean,
wrap
get,
it up. It sounds like you've already given up.
You put on
a
helmet and you score. You put on a helmet and you freaking score some goals. God damn it! For God's sakes, enough of this middle business. Get folks to the end of the field with the goal that your team is playing for, and stay there and just boom, 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 just hit it in. God.
All right, so
it's not hard.
Inspiring stuff.
If I'm understanding correctly, the move is eliminate the midfield.
Yeah, correct. Which I've said. I'm pretty sure. I'm almost positive. I've always said.
Yeah. If we check the record,
I'm pretty sure if you look back and play the tape
11.
Back, I've always said yes, yes,
yeah, yeah,
yes. It's coming back to me now.
You remember? Right, yeah, Trey remembers now.
Well, so we equip all the guys with helmets, and we put the give the
just to be safe.
We give Matt Freeze the ball, and he hoofs it into the.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we just sort of ping pong it around off of the Daft Punk helmets until it ping pongs into the goal.
Well, cause here's the thing. Here's the caveat. Everyone has a helmet except for the goalie. Okay, think about this. That makes the goalie all of a sudden the most vulnerable player on the field, on the pitch.
Very good.
And then everyone else, so the goalie has no helmet, everyone else has Daft Punk helmets, close in, no one else on the rest of the field, 20 or so dudes, all helmeted up, ping-ponging, like you said, could even make a more of a ping-pong-sized ball to make it even harder. Shrink the ball. Don't tell the goalie. Don't tell the goalie. Make the ball small, and don't tell him about the helmets. Don't tell the goalie about anything. This guy wakes up, and it's game day, and he looks around. He's like, where is everybody? And he opens his eyes. There's a bunch of Daft Punks ping-ponging balls into his net over and over. It's like, yeah, maybe that's how we, maybe that's changing the game. Maybe that is how you score. I don't know. And again, I'm ping pong. I'm spitballing. I'm ping ponging, you know? I'm exhausted, guys.
Max, it's so illuminating to have you. Thank you so much for shining a little light on this season.
I'm just trying to give my perspective. I'm just trying to provide a perspective, you know? I'm just trying to kind of just give my two cents.
And that much you've absolutely done. And remind the folks where they get, if they want to hear more of your perspective, of your unique take.
And it's a big, yeah, it's got to be a big if, but you guys have people that listen to the show, so I will say, it's called Sports Talk right now, and you can look it up on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get those things, and give it a listen, and call 646-844-2927. What'd you think of my appearance on Blue-Footed Blue Balls? Maybe it's pretty good, maybe you didn't like it. Call and tell me, please.
Yeah, everybody should feel free to tell Max exactly what they think of his work, his perspectives, and his hot takes.
And I'm not them. Yeah. You said you can tell them, and I'm actually not. Those aren't.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. I guess I implied.
That's okay. I don't know if you did.
It really wasn't a question of pronouns so much as I assumed that you had kind of a team, you know? That maybe you
had anybody
else working with you, but it sounds like no.
No, I am a he-him operation through and through.
Nothing else. Yeah, that's I've always gotten that vibe from you, Max. Thank you so much for joining us to talk a little bit about the state of the team right now.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Max.
It. Truly, blue truly appreciate
NYCFC.
It.
NYCFC Season 9.
I like the blue balls. The blue balls.
Nueve.
Blue balls.
Season 9.
Nueve. Well, that's always a pleasure. To have a true sports head,
just knows everything.
Yeah, it really, you know. I think, I'm dwarfed by the scale of what Trey knows about soccer. I always feel kind of like the goofus to your gallant. But then when you talk to someone who's a real student of not just the game but of all games, it just makes you understand truly how small your understanding of the schema of competitive sport really is. But we can't spend all day on that, Trey. We have other shit to talk about.
Sure.
We got more talking points we didn't get to in the last episode. Most of all, what were you going to say?
Nothing.
Just say great? You're just
That's
cheering me
great.
On?
Great. I'm excited. Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've got the... Now we're too giddy. We're too giddy from all of the expertise or the little punch drunk. But we have to settle, Trey, because we have to talk not just about, I don't know, the 22 under 22 list. Great. But even more importantly, you've got some decisions to make. Member of the soccer journalism elite, you are casting some very important votes upcoming, and I wonder if you can tell the audience a little bit about how you're handling this immense amount of responsibility.
We're doing that now?
I had planned on it. I thought that would sort of maybe be the second half of the episode, but we certainly don't have to.
We absolutely
We can call Max back. I bet he's got another at least another half hour in the tank.
I know, he has so much to say and give, but I'm finding it super honored to have the ability to vote on the MLS End of Year Awards as well as the MLS Best 11, all thanks to you guys for listening to this podcast enough that we still have one and giving me the ability to request credentials and being credentialed for so long. It's like all of this is a fucking dream, and that's all great. And then I look at the awards I have to give, and I'm like, fuck, there's no clear answer for like any of these. And it sucks a bunch because it's hard. And, you know, Jake, I couldn't do this myself without you, so I'm going to need your help here as much as you can give. And I am in no way prepared to vote yet. I'm kind of gathering my thoughts still, talking to a lot of people. I have been already shortening my own short list. And the decision is still up in the air. I will post when I make my final decision. People will be mad either way. But I'm welcome to fan feedback, too. If you have any ideas or arguments after hearing our conversation, you let me know. Take a look at the numbers yourself. You know, we have over-unders that we love to include people on, so this is likewise.
Why don't you talk about who have you been talking to? Whose advice have you been soliciting as you try to, like, consolidate what your opinion is? Who does a Trey Fillmore go to when he needs, you know, a real guiding, a star in the darkness, a lighthouse on the high seas?
Much like everyone else, the outfield. It's just a group of guys a lot smarter than me, and as well as, like, you know, John Mueller, hearing his opinions is great because he's very smart. And yeah, what's just other people
been, like, what are people saying on the ones and zeros?
So the group chat has a very interesting opinion that is not reflected anywhere else in MLS. And
a weird surprise from fucking the outfield.
And I was going into this process, like, okay, Lucho Costa, that's MVP, baby. Like, it's easy. And I was on MLSsoccer.com just today, and they're like, oh, MVP power rankings. Is Lucho Costa running away with it? So that's, like, the narrative, right? And but you look deeper, and it's a lot more complicated and a lot more difficult than any of, you know, the media narratives and all these things kind of go into it. And I think the bigger question now is that I get this privilege that I've been thinking about and doing on in my own head for decades, of course. And it really comes now that I have my philosophies kind of built up. Now I have to put them into practice. And it's hard because, like, that's a difficult thing to do. So let's get into it. MVP and best 11 kind of, there are, like, clear philosophies, and people have strong opinions about how you award MVP and how you award a best 11 spot. What I've seen from people who have published their own opinions and ballots from best 11 does not fall in line with how I feel a best 11 should be for the most part. Some people are better than others, but in my opinion, my philosophy, if you're building a best 11 of a season, it should reflect a team. It should be possible to have those 11 players on the field. You can't go in with one center back. You can't go in with three ball-playing tens as your midfield. I'm sorry, an MLS best 11 should not have Lucho Costa, Thiago Almada, and Hany Mukhtar as your three midfielders, because that would not work. That's my opinion, and this is, you know, that's how I'm going into it, but I feel like that's accurate. So you can give some love to a holding midfielder, give some love to some center backs. And like, so MVP is probably the hardest, right? I mean, that's the one where it's like, is it who's the big argument is, like, is it the best player on the best team? Is it the best player in the league no matter what team they're on? Is it the person that impacts the game the most? Is it the person with the highest share of value to the team that they're on? You know, I think you can pick different players for all these things. Like,
yeah,
find it really interesting. Someone who cares a lot about, like, the philosophy of these awards, of course, in sports in general, who does get to vote on the NBA is Bill Simmons. You know, love him or hate him, he is someone that has written extensively about the philosophy about this. So in 2007 was a very difficult year to vote for an MVP in basketball. And I think he's changed his philosophy on MVP since now then. But here's from his column in 2007. Before we tackle remaining MVP candidates, let's break out my questions that over everything else should determine the winner of the award. These are the three questions. Question one, 10 years from now, who will be the first player from the season that pops into your head? Question two, in a giant pickup game with every player waiting to play and two fans forced to pick sides with their lives depending on it, who would be the first player picked based on the way everyone played that season? And question three, if you replaced every MVP candidate with a decent player at his position for the entire season, what would be the effect of their team's records? So a lot goes into the thinking about those three. I would say for question one, 10 years from now, this is the Messi season. I'm not going to vote him for MVP, but he is the first player that comes into my head. And I think the second is Lucho Costa. I think that's been the driving narrative of non-Messi players in this league in terms of individual performance is like, look how good this guy is doing on this team that was so bad 2 years ago. And now they're the best team in the league by far. Mm-hmm. And I think that says something. But then the other two questions get a little more difficult. If you were in a giant pickup game, who would you pick? I'm like half asking you, but I'm really asking myself.
I mean, but my answer is so boring, which is just also Messi.
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, let's give it a minutes restriction, you know? Let's say like 2,000 minutes or whatever.
Great, absolutely. I think that's fair. I think that's more than fair.
But I think question three, if you say, if you replaced every player with a decent player at his position, we have this statistic. It's, you know, goals added over replacement. And actually, let me fucking calculate that number right now. Let me tell you, it's not Lucho Costa. I believe it might be Brian White from Vancouver, who has the most kind of outsized influence on his own team's results. Let's check this out. Let's do per 96, and let's give our minute restriction. Let's say like 1700, just because I'm curious. Let's see if it works. This website is buggy. We'll find out. Anyways, it's difficult. Can you talk? I've been talking for an hour.
But I have so little to contribute.
Like, what is MVP to you? What does MVP mean to you?
I can scroll through all of this and say, oh yeah, maybe I'd fucking, I don't know, pick Facundo Torres out of the lineup to be on my pickup team, but it's all I think the advanced stat that you're trying to quote right now is probably the most relevant one to me, which is who is doing the work that like cannot be adequately assigned to anybody else. But it's also kind of a who is taking them over the limit, right? Not just the like immediate effect, but also who's closing, which is why I think it comes back to strikers so much, or midfielders who have an outsized effect on the goal tallies of their teams. And I guess that's probably what I'd look at most aggressively is relationships to wins.
You so know? That's the big thing, right? Because like statistics kind of point at one thing and then record points at another. And I think that's why a lot of people can default to best player on best team, because right. That team won the most. And the purpose of these games is to win the most. But also the worst player on the best team is also winning more. It's like, and impact is such a, can be such a, you know, intangible thing, because
which
I don't know how
me.
Impactful.
Right, there is a subjectivity to, so I think you have to accept the subjectivity of it. I think ultimately you have to say, I watched a lot of soccer. Who did I take the most pleasure in watching? You know? Who, like, and not just for their potential, but for the actual impact that they had in the matches that I watched. Who changed the game, or who was the force of gravity in an entirely subjective way? In fact, I would argue that the reason that you have the ability to cast these votes, Trey, is because you have more expertise, not just for like statistical expertise, but more expertise in the experience of watching the game than most people. And so in perceiving that game, your experience of that game and of that player is going to be more nuanced and more interesting, right? Such that like you should, I think, go with your gut. Go with your gut because your gut is honed, even if you can't articulate what the way in which that's honed is. Right? Who do you want to be? I think that's the real question. It's not actually a question of like who had the most outsized effect. It's who do you want to be MVP? Right? Because you are a member. Like, and do you have an answer for that question?
No. Kind of. I do think my heart is really in the Lucho Costa basket because they just win so much, and the emotional effect that what he does on the field contributes to both his team, the fans, the environments they play in, does feel outsized compared to any other player I've seen play. So, like, that's where that part of my brain is. But if you want to talk, like, but that doesn't mean that you should ignore statistics either. Like, here's a good thought exercise I had between – there's three players I'm between. So here is a comparison between one player that's in the MVP power rankings, the top six MVP contenders according to MLSsoccer.com, and here's a player who is not in those power rankings. And I'll leave it to you to say who would you pick based only on these statistics. Player A scored – oh, now I'm doing fucking per 90. Hold on. Player A scored 16 goals and 10 assists. Player B had 11 goals and 15 assists. But player A only had 9 non-penalty goals, and player B had 9 penalty goals. I mean, had 9 non-penalty goals as well. So player A had 19 non-penalty goals and assists, and player B had 24. Non-penalty expected goals per game per 90 plus assist is player A 0.57, player B 0.65. Passing, I mean, you have, you know, in terms of chances created, things like that. Let's skip that for a second. Player A progressive carries per game 4, player B 4.3, player A 7.4. Progressive passes, player B 9.4. So, like, if you take the penalties out of it, player B's like a much better player across the board. Above replacement goals added, player A 0.26 per 96, player B 0.31. Like, player B's the better player across the board statistically. Player B is Thiago Almada, player A is Lucho Costa. And so it's like, are we going to ignore that? Perhaps the best statistic player overall is Thiago Almada. The best player above replacement is Brian White. He leads in goals added across the board, no matter how you want to fucking dice it. So, like, those three guys, I'm like, oh, my God. But then it goes back to, like, the emotional argument of it all is, like, what Bill Simmons says, who's the story 10 years from now when I think of the 2023 season? It's that Cincinnati fucking came back from being a wooden spoon team to a near record-breaking team, and it's almost completely because of Lucho Costa's ability to dictate how a game is played.
I think,
but Thiago Almada's doing it with a worse team, but it doesn't matter because the team has so many more losses.
I'm a sentimentalist, as I think anybody who can listen to this podcast can probably tell, and I am sympathetic to story, and I'm more interested in story, ultimately. Such that, like, that statistic story is not as exciting to me or not as demonstrative of what it means to be an MVP as the story around Cincinnati and their journey in this season. It's just not the same, right? Like, an MVP is not just about... sports is narrative. Sports is theater. Sports is storytelling. And if your stats are not creating the story of victory, of timeless victory, of legend, then they're just numbers, right? Then it's just statistics. That's not the same thing as MVP. That's not the, like, just like being best in categories is not the same thing as being best on the field. It's not the same thing as carrying a team or being the not carrying a team, but carrying the banner for a team that will be, you know, the 2023 season for decades to come. And so the result is a more boring vote? Okay, fine. That's me. But that's because I'm less sophisticated. I think that you come from... You, on the other hand, work for a soccer outlet that highly values advanced thinking, that highly values a more nuanced approach to analysis. And I think that it's entirely within your right to try to apply that advanced analysis to how you experience this season.
Yeah. I think I just haven't... I think I'll... I'm just
Let
stuck.
Me ask you this.
I'm stuck when between those three guys.
When you're talking about the best 11, what's the... like, are there any... Because I think you have this deep desire to recognize undersung talent, right? To balance the scales in a way that I don't. I'm just like, yeah, let's sing about the hero. Is there anybody that's an easy, that's a shoo-in for you that you're like, this is the person that I'm putting on my best 11 because I know that no one else is paying close enough attention to what this person is doing or can do?
If you put it that way, I think the only locks I have on my best 11 right now are not unsung heroes, but there are definitely like players that I'm not seeing on other people's best 11s that I do think deserve to be there 100%. And that includes a Brian White. That includes Hector Herrera. I mentioned people just throwing out, fucking putting, you know, creative number 10s, you know, possession master number 10s in their best 11s, like ignoring how important. And you want to talk about fucking valuable? Like, Ace Ace was so huge for Houston this year. Any game you watch, he is the maestro, and he is holding down the midfield. And to ignore that impact, and statistically was amazing, I think ignores someone that I think is one of the best, is the best at his position. And that includes, you know, Ricky Pouge as well. Ricky Pouge, like, I know the fucking Galaxy have been disappointing as hell, but I don't think you can... You know, when it comes to a best 11, I'm not talking about MVP anymore. Like, this is where you need to appreciate what a player like him has done to his team this season. I mean, they were awful. Jesus Christ, I'm looking at it now. They were bad. But he, if you watch an LA Galaxy game, there's no way that, like, you don't understand the immense amount of talent that he has and that he was failed by his front office and the players around him. In terms of, you know, being able to win matches. So I'm having trouble fitting Ace Ace and Ricky Pouge in when I think they both at least deserve a nod, if not even a solid spot, when you have Lucho Costa and Thiago Almada and Hanan Mukhtar and a whole bunch of other midfielders, Ryan Gold and whatever. So it's really come down to, it's a lot easier to narrow down to like four or five players for two or three spots when it comes to striker and midfield and on the wings. But center back, I'm having a hard time because I don't think a lot of years there's been like two or three center backs. You can be like, okay, it's between these guys. And this goes for defender of the year, frankly. I don't really have a choice right now because you see what Janssen did in Orlando being the anchor for that team. And that was a really successful team. I don't think you can ignore his influence. Jack Mayer on Nashville, like Zimmerman missed 10 games or so, and Mayer played every minute. But he's not like the anchor of that back line, but he is kind of the guy who can make things happen and move the ball up forward, and that was one of the best defensive teams in the league. Seattle, again, like underperformed. But defensively, they only allowed 32 goals this season. Like, you have to acknowledge that they've been fantastic defensively. Like, defensive player of the year, I'm not even close to like narrowing down. I still need to really hammer on that. So center back, I'm having trouble with in terms of my best 11 and the formation I want to do. I think it depends on what players I have and
how. Yeah, you give yourself an extra challenge, I think, like trying to create a cohesive best 11.
Yeah, but I think you have to. Again, that's just my philosophy going into it. It's not the best 11 players. It's not 10 strikers and a goalkeeper.
Why not?
Some people would say that.
I would say that our previous guest would have gone straight for a 10 strikers and a goalkeeper strategy.
They would lose every game.
I don't know.
That's not the best team.
It's been a long time since it's been tried.
Yeah, good old little Lucho Costa playing center back for that team, sure.
Will you publish your ballot once you've got it?
Of course. No, I said I will, 100%. I really am interested in hearing people's thoughts about what MVP means to them, who they would pick out of the three guys that I'm kind of bouncing around in my head, who they think, if they watched other games, center backs that stood out to them. You know, all these things. Feel free to reach out. This is just kind of a taste of like where I am in my thought process this week. I think by like Friday, I definitely want to be done by Friday. I have until next Monday, I think, but I want to be done by Friday. I'm really nervous about trying to fit. I might have to make Thiago Amada a winger on my best 11 because I think needs to be in it. So many people have left
breaking his own rules.
So many people have. I think he could play there. So many people have left him out of their best 11s that it's just gross. Like, I'm sorry, but he has 24 goal non-penalty goals and assists this year. Like, how do you not put that on it? That's a double. He needs to.
Yeah. You should do some content farming or some engagement farming on Twitter once we release this episode. Quote tweet it and ask that question so we get a few replies from the reply guys. We love you, reply guys. No shade to you. We want to know more. Give us your ballots too.
And Jake, feel free to I know you're
to
not,
chime
but,
in to have any but, opinion. Trey, you have, know I didn't I'm, watch all these fucking matches. Come on.
No, that's fair. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't have any opinion.
It's good of you to give me the benefit of the doubt, but folks, there is only one member of this two-man podcast that actually put work into following MLS this season, and it was not me. I am excited to hear about the effects and to find out how they affect my team once those teams come through NYCFC's backyard or whatever. But I've not been tracking this banner season for Orlando, except to note that they were good and we still beat them. So I'll keep my name, or I'll keep my opinions out of the foray, probably. But I'm excited to watch, you know, the directions that it goes, and then to watch some of the highlight reels as they start coming out to celebrate these motherfuckers. Because the league's never been healthier. I mean, that much I know.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's such a hard decision, I think, speaks a lot.
I'd agree. Trey, when they're not looking for your ballot, where do you tweet at?
Trey
Fulmore.
Oh, no,
that will be. You'll put it up on your personal account, right?
Yeah.
All right, sure. Well, so say it again.
Trey Fulmore. What about you?
Oh, at Jake Beckard. We're able to find absolutely no ballots, draft or otherwise. And you can find us both at Blue Balls Pod. Where that information will also get retweeted, but where you can find other funny memes if you wanted.
Just brief housekeeping. So we had an episode come out. We have this episode out. And then I guess, depending on the results of the season, like if we do make the playoffs, we'll probably have to do a episode. But if we don't, we might let it breathe before we do our, you know, mega two episode end of season pods we always do.
Say that one more time.
Sorry, I know that was confusing wording.
You're saying we might.
If we get into the playoffs,
we'll do a friggin' podcast. If we don't, then we're gonna take a breath and then we'll record and we'll see how the fallout falls out, and then we'll record our double long. Is that right?
Exactly. Correct.
Makes perfect 100%. Sense to me. I'm sure it makes perfect sense to them.
Before the end of October. Yeah.
Yeah. Deal.
Great.
All right. Thanks for listening again, guys. We hope you enjoyed this special midweek episode, and we will see you on the other side sooner or later. Let's see what happens. Bye.
Bye.